Om Shanti. Good morning. I'll just translate one sentence of the song. Very beautiful lyrics that I have experienced meeting God and had the opportunity of having heart-to-heart conversation with God and experienced the happiness that comes from meeting with God. So I think that applies to everybody who's here. I don't think you would have made the effort to come all the way in the dark and the cold when the government is issuing all sorts of warnings about going here and there. But we're lucky that communal worship still continues officially. So I think it's the experience of the meeting with God that brings us all together. Today is Murali, again a very, very powerful one, about the authority of truth. But how, if there is the authority of truth, then it isn't an authority filled with arrogance, because most times in the world out there, even if somebody is wearing a uniform, even though it might be a very basic level of uniform, but it's as if they take on an authority and they want to hit you on the head with it. And so uniforms and authority go together in the Lokic world, it seems. But here, the authority that Brahma Baba has demonstrated, and then the Dadis learnt and followed in those footsteps, that authority came across with the power of love and also the power of humility. And so Baba has equated authority and greatness with humility. But I wanted to share one particular story about Brahma Baba and early days in Delhi, and people were hearing the Murali. And the Murali, the Sakar Murali, is strong. And Baba speaks whatever is the truth without camouflaging it in any way. And so one particular individual was asking questions about, well, what is this authority with which this person is speaking? And he'd heard the Gyan and he understood that we were talking about Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba, and he'd heard all of that. But of course, it's not so easy to believe all of that. Not in those days, not today. And so if there's something within the soul that gets touched, then of course you believe it. But this particular individual decided that he would go to Abu to find out who is this personality who's speaking such strong words. And Baba gave permission, and he went to Abu, and Baba just met him very briefly. And then next morning, he came to class, and Baba was speaking a very strong, powerful Murali. And after class, he met with Baba, and he said to Baba, "Baba, I realized that when you're speaking, yes, it is with authority, but it's with a lot of love. And so I realize now that what you're speaking is actually the truth." And of course, when Baba's using strong language, Baba's tone was always the soft, gentle, loving tone, nothing else at all. If there's something else in my heart, if there's any anger in my heart, or if there's ego, I want to prove that what I'm saying is right. Of course, that anger and ego comes across. And then I say, but I was only speaking the truth. But the truth has been mixed with my own other negative sanskars. And this happens when you're talking to somebody and you think that what you're saying is a truth. Why aren't they accepting it? but the tone with which you've spoken and the foundation that's there in the soul of anger or ego, that's come across more than whatever is the truth. And so the truth gets forgotten, but the ego and anger comes across, and the person will not be able to accept whatever is being stated. And so here was Baba, and Baba's tone, Baba's attitude, body language, everything was of love. And Baba truly just wanting to explain what is right, what is wrong, and then whoever wants to take up whatever decides for themselves. And so it's a fact that when truth is filled with the power of love, then it comes across with much humility, and the greatness of that personality also comes across. And so if I'm wanting to be an instrument to share truth with others, and definitely this is what Baba wants us to do, how am I going to be able to be an instrument in that way? It's through the cleansing of the soul, and I have to remove whatever other motives I may have in speaking what I say. It happens in very simple interaction also, not talking about the big absolute truth, but little things. And in little things, I want to prove that I'm right. How is that going to come across? And if I'm just simply saying, well, this is how I see it, this is what I've observed or whatever, it comes across very, very differently. And so if I want somebody else to understand what I'm saying in the way in which I'm meaning it, I have to make sure that I've really cleaned out whatever other feelings and motives I may have inside of me, so that there's a cleanliness that's there, and then when I speak, it's more likely to be accepted. And so today, Baba telling us the different types of authority that Baba has given us. And the first step is the authority of knowledge. I know that when I first came to Baba, just understanding Baba's knowledge about the different aspects of Baba's Gyan was so incredible. I wasn't ready to give Gyan to anyone, not for quite a while, but just the power and just the authority of knowledge, in which if I was asking any question, then the sister who is the instrument to teach me at that time, she was able to answer it. And so it was incredible, because whichever way you approached a topic, here was somebody who was able to give you all the answers. And of course, it was a center that Dadi Janki was in. And very soon after I'd taken a few lessons, Dadi invited me to come to Murali, because I'd heard Murali's in Madhuban anyway. And so Dadi was there as the final authority in a sense, but this young sister, and a simple sister, and yet she had all these answers for every aspect of Gyan. And so I know that the power and the authority of knowledge was the first attraction for me to spend time studying a little bit, understanding a little bit, and then the next authority that Baba has spoken of is the authority of experience. It's wonderful having the knowledge of the soul. And as I say, all the questions you've ever had about spirituality very quickly get answered just simply through that first lesson. But then you experiment with soul consciousness. And your own experiment of soul consciousness becomes such a powerful thing that that's when you know that, yes, this is the truth. First, it was just a stimulation of the intellect and just a sense of wonder that you know, all these questions that I've always had are now being answered. But then you start experimenting with those ideas, and the power of your own experience really, truly gives you that authority in which you know that what has been told to you is real. If you were to experiment with it and nothing happened, how long would you be able to carry on following the path? But Baba tells you something, or an instrument teacher tells you something, and you experiment with it. And your own experiment gives you such an amazing feeling that you say, yes, there is something here and I want more of this. And so first step, the authority of knowledge. The second step, the authority of experience. And then the third step, Baba said, on the basis of your understanding and your experience, then yes, you can truly say that this is the truth. And so the authority of truth that you've experienced is then something that is there with you. And you can be an instrument to share that also. While it's just simply the beauty of the knowledge and answers, it's very easy for another to say, oh, well, you know, this is what they've told you and so this is why you believe it. But if you've experimented with it, nobody can say that to you. I know because this has been my experience. And this is why Baba often says that the authority of experience is the highest authority. And so let me experiment with everything that I'm hearing about. One is the basic concepts of soul and God and so on. But the other experiment that we don't always continue further with is the experiment in which I'm practicing the virtues that Baba has told me about. Baba has told me about contentment. Baba has told me about purity. Baba has told me about all the different virtues that you can think about. Am I experimenting with each one of those virtues? And if I'm doing that, not only will I be absorbing all of that within myself, because it's not by just simply hearing about it and feeling, ah, wonderful, I now have this clarity, I now understand, but beyond the understanding, I have to experience. So if I've experimented and experienced each one of the virtues that Baba's talking about, not only will it be visible in my life and the transformation is something that people will see, but also it'll give me that inner contentment and satisfaction that the treasures that Baba's offering me at the confluence age, I'm filling myself with those treasures. Not only is there no other opportunity through the kalpa to understand everything that God is teaching, but more than that, Baba is saying, this is your time to fill yourself with all attainments from God. And so, can I truly say, yes, I have filled myself with all the virtues that Baba is offering me. And if not, who's stopping me? Certainly nobody else. So what's stopping me is my laziness. And I'm not talking about physical laziness. That's a different story completely. But just the reluctance of the intellect to give something such detailed attention that I'm focused on something that's deep down inside and not something external. You know how if you have to do something that's very practical and physical, it's easy, you get on with it. But if there's something that's going to take a little bit more thought, that's going to take a little bit more concentration, you'll say, oh, when I have time, I'll think about it, I'll get around to doing it. And so when something requires the focus of our intellect, we have to really gear ourselves up and say, okay, now I've cleared everything, I'm not going to be distracted, I'm going to focus on this. But in fact, with Baba's virtues and then beyond that, the powers, I don't need to say, okay, now I've got half an hour and I'm going to think about this. It's an experiment that's ongoing as I do whatever else it is I need to do. I don't have to say, okay, now I'm free. But rather than letting my intellect go here and there, that is the moment when I can make myself free in here. And I'm walking, I'm chopping vegetables, I'm doing cleaning, any of the things that are part of day-to-day life. My hands and my feet are doing whatever they need to do. But what's happening internally? And so it needs that sort of alertness and interest. Daddy used to talk about how her hobby, she used this English word. She used to say, my hobby is to understand deeply what Baba means and then to apply what Baba is saying in my life. And so I'm sure that when you're asked to make a list of your hobbies, you're not going to put that down. But just ask yourself, well, what is it that engages my interest? I was sharing with somebody that when I was young, 14, 15, around that time, I used to always have a book. And it was usually just novels rather than serious books. And I would polish off a novel every night. It just took one night and I would read it, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is. And so that was my hobby, reading. But today, can I say that my hobby is really to go into the depth of the knowledge that Baba's giving me and to be able to experiment with that and apply it in my life. And much more interesting than reading a novel, because you discover many things about yourself that you really had no idea about. Even today, some have been in Gyan 10 years, some have been in Gyan 20 years, and all the ages in between, all of that, 30 years, 40 years. And it's still a question, how well do we know ourselves? That's one question. But another question is, do I see myself in the way Baba sees me? I know that the gathering here that I'm seeing, it's only a handful out of this gathering who've had that opportunity of personal meetings with Avyakta Bhaktada, but there are some fortunate souls who I'm seeing who've had that. But certainly I think everybody who's here, or 99% of the people who are here, have been in the large gatherings in Madhuban where we weren't meeting Baba individually anymore. But when Baba would start giving drishti, and you were sitting somewhere in the middle, and we were lucky that people from abroad were never really in the middle. When I was seeing the transmission yesterday, and it was packed, that hall was packed, and of course it wasn't now, and so social distancing is today, not at that time, but it was quite stunning to see how many people were in that hall, so you could really see a gathering of 25,000. And we were never given seats in the middle of, say, 12,000 people in front of me. We were always given seats in which maybe there's 1,000 others in front of me. But if I were to look behind me, even though there's 1,000 others in front of me, I would see 24,000 behind me. So we were always very, very lucky. And so when Baba would give drishti, you could feel Baba reaching the soul. Baba's drishti was, and today if you sit in front of Baba, whether just with your thoughts or on a physical level in Baba's room, you can feel Baba's love reaching you, Baba touching the soul. And so here's Baba offering me the opportunity to take all the treasures. Can I focus? Can I concentrate on that? And through Baba's drishti, take everything that I need. And so all the virtues, can I make it not just part of my understanding of knowledge, not just part of the theory, but can I experience and carry that authority of experience in my dharana, whether it's purity, whether it's humility, whether it's responsibility, whether it's honesty, the whole list, but also the powers. I've forgotten which Murali, but just recently it came up again. And Baba's talking about how if you have experimented with all the powers and you filled yourself with all those powers, then as a result of that, whichever power it is you want is going to be available for you. And you can't say afterwards, oh, I should have done this, or I should have, but I didn't. But at that moment, to remember through your own experience what Baba has told you, that you've experimented with it, so you've experienced it. And so then you can capture that awareness and use that awareness and use that power at that moment of need, not 2 minutes later or 10 minutes later, but at that moment of need. Baba's asked the question in today's Murali about how people are saying that all this is good. By that time, by the end of the 80s, 87 Murali, by the time it got round to that point, a lot of people in Bharat had heard about the Brahma Kumaris, read about the Brahma Kumaris, a lot of information was out and around. So very, very different to the 60s and the 70s when things were very, very quiet. And so people were by now saying, in Bharat especially, whatever these people are saying is good. They weren't saying that it's wrong, even though it challenged all the scriptures. But they were saying it's good, but they weren't actually saying, well, this must be the truth, which is a very different step. And so just reflecting on that, we can tell people that this is God's knowledge, and I believe it, and I know it's the truth, but what is it that's going to make another individual accept that? And of course, yes, it's that soul's role in the drama. That's absolutely a fact. That you could have somebody like Daddy speaking to somebody and how much did they understand? They carried away an amazing feeling of Daddy's presence and power, but they didn't necessarily shift their thinking and say, yes, this is the truth. But yet, they could carry away something. And so partly it's whatever is the recording that's there within the soul, that's real. But secondly, even for them to actually say that this is something which is good, they have to see it demonstrated in my life. Because there are so many people who are talking such beautiful things, such powerful things, and how do you distinguish? How do you differentiate? And so it has to be the authority of my experience, which is then visible. Not just that I say, yes, I've experienced God's love, that if I've experienced God's love, is my heart now big and open and generous, and I'm able to be an instrument to allow that love to flow and reach another? And if not, why not? It means I haven't sufficiently experienced God's love. I haven't felt that love make a difference in my own state of being and my own inner transformation. So I need to do something more about that. So Baba's talked about how first there can be a soul in contact, and then secondly, you have to keep that soul coming closer so that they have a relationship. And it's not just a relationship with you, hopefully, but it's a relationship with God. And then thirdly, then through their own relationship and experience, then they can become an instrument in which they share with others also. And so that's steps for the people out there and how to bring them closer were very interesting. But then the further thing, that in terms of myself, that experience of knowledge, understanding knowledge, experiencing knowledge and the reality of the dharana, and then, yes, I can say that this is the truth. And because truth on its own can be very strong, it has to be with humility and a lot of love. And so that authority of my own experience of love and humility is going to make the difference for people to accept. Whether they then understand or not, but share another story with you. Early 2000 something, and a group of us, Maureen, myself, were with Daddy, Hansa, and it was the World Parliament of Religions in Barcelona. And it was an amazing platform. Thousands of people, all the different religions represented. And Daddy was given a very special role, and that was lovely. We'd finished a session at the Parliament and then come back to the centre. And we were going to be having a Snemil and a gathering of love with many of our friends upstairs in the main hall. And before we could go up, we came downstairs, of course, and there was somebody waiting to interview Daddy. And this person himself was a sort of guru at that time. Afterwards, he lost his gadi, and I don't know where he is today. But at that point, he was still very much the guru. And he'd brought a whole team to do a video interview of Daddy. And he himself was going to interview Daddy, which was not the usual. Usually it was one of his team. And the half-hour interview became an hour and a half. And he kept asking more questions, and Daddy kept answering them in detail, with sharing absolutely full gyan. The full 7 days course came out in that hour and a half. Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, Satyug, everything. And I was translating for Daddy. And I had to be very, very detached as I was translating, because my question was, well, how much is the soul understanding? And but he wasn't indicating anything, so he continued to ask, and Daddy continued to answer. And by then it was really time to go upstairs, so we finished it there. And I said to this person, were you understanding what Daddy was sharing? And he said, no. And then he said, but what I could feel was that this was Daddy's truth. And so I wasn't about to be challenging that. It's not a question of whether I understood or I didn't, but I could feel that this is Daddy's truth. And I know that there'll be people out there who are going to want to hear it. So that was a very interesting lesson for me. firstly, really, I have to be very detached during translation so that I'm not editing what Paddy wants to say, thinking that, well, this person's not going to understand. No, but there's a moment in the drama in which a particular individual is in front of a soul like Daddy, and whatever is in Daddy's heart, Daddy's sharing, and that's the moment that's right for that scene in drama. So this idea of being an instrument to share the truth, if I'm just repeating words that I've heard, it doesn't come across that this is the truth. If I've experienced it, and on the basis of that, I'm sharing whatever I've understood, then yes, that feeling that where I'm coming from is a space of truth is going to reach the other. And so, powerful lesson in truth. I was mentioned two other things, many things, but two other things that I want to touch upon. Firstly, that they always talk about truth and fearlessness going together. And within the Sikh scriptures, when they're referring to the praise of God, they talk about God being the one who is free from fear and free from animosity. And you can see the connection of all this with truth. If I have animosity in my heart, I'm not anywhere near the truth. And definitely, that animosity is also going to cause me fear. Because I know that whatever is negative that's going on is going to bring a repercussion. And so if there's falsehood, and the falsehood is that which is not part of the original state of the soul, not just where I'm speaking false, but the original state of the soul, that truth of the soul, if I have those qualities that I've been able to clean and remove other things and emerge these things, what is there I'm going to be afraid of? There's going to be no fear at all, and the truth of the soul is going to shine. And so to be able to look deep down inside and see what's going on in terms of feelings and any animosity at all. It's a world in which there's a huge amount of fear, but there's a huge amount of animosity, and that's why there's fear. And so the connection of that and being able to clean all that out and just simply then come back to that pure love, which is the truth of the soul. And if I have that, then that truth is going to make me fearless, it's going to make me strong, and it's going to keep me safe. Truth is going to protect me. And the other thing that Babas mentioned is the happiness that the soul experiences when there's truth. And if there isn't truth, then again, both of these things, something that's false within the soul, and of course there's going to be confusion. And if there's confusion, there's not going to be happiness. But my happiness doesn't depend on anyone else. My happiness depends on the inner state of being, to whatever extent I've removed other negative things, and that truth is there within the soul. Babas mentioned different things about happiness, but also this expression that I think everybody has heard, Sat Chit Anand. And so the truth, the living being, and the embodiment of bliss. And so bliss is that state where there's no opposite at all. Pleasure, pain, happiness, sorrow, and bliss, there's no contrast, no opposite. So that's the final state. But even before I get to that state, can I maintain a state of happiness? Instead of fluctuating from pleasure and pain and fluctuating from sorrow and joy, Can I maintain that inner state of happiness and be the master of that? And yes, to whatever extent there's truth, there's going to be my own inner state of happiness. And yes, I'm going to move in that direction towards that state of bliss that nobody else can touch and take away from me. So every Murali is powerful and beautiful, but sometimes there are Muralis that are absolute classics, and today's Murali is one of those, very, very powerful. So for those I won't be seeing for Christmas, have a very beautiful experience of solitude with Baba at Christmas time rather than the parties and the big gatherings. But also, we'll be seeing you after Christmas.